याद करना संभाल करना, हमें समझना न तुम बेगाना, हमें समझना न तुम बेगाना, न भूल जाना न भूल जाना न भूल जाना ख्याल करना।
Being just now read out is a prayer from the disciple to his master. He says, "It is you who has lacerated my mind, my heart. There is no other remedy other than your own self. Remedy of this heart only lies in your hands. No other doctor can heal it up. You are going away, but don't forget us. Let us repair you." Well, Master does not forget, that's right. But still, out of the anguished heart, you see, comes out the words from a disciple. Therefore, God says, "Don't forget us. We cannot forget you, but you also don't forget. Yeah, after all, you are old. If you forget us, who will? What will be our own remedy?" So, the heart is waiting for just having a glimpse of the Master, you see. What a remedy can there be for that? Nothing else, no words, consolations will have this. Once it so happened, in the time of Lord Krishna, that the vanishing gopis, you see, they were very much in love with Lord Krishna. So he remained away for some time, say about 6 or 8 months or so. So they could not reach him. And they were crying, like, you see, separation is a very bad thing. Two times are very difficult. For a man who has love in his heart, not love in his heart for someone. One, the time which is just passed in awaiting. And the other time when he leaves. You see, both times are very hard times. So, Lord Krishna sent one Udo, messenger, to go and console them, you see. Console them, well, look, your God is everywhere, Master is everywhere. He is in your heart of hearts, he is the very controlling power of your own self in the body. Why are you worried? He is the soul of your soul, this and that, and many things. So he went deeply to all those, to the best he could, you see. With all that, they heard very calmly. And last of all, told him, "Oh, Udo, what you say is all right. But tell us, the eyes which are yearning to see that grading form of the Master, what is the remedy we do for that?" So this is a prayer from the disciple to the Master, but don't forget. And generally you'll find, usually, as a matter of fact, this Master never forgets himself. He says, "Well, I had only one heart, that you have taken possession of that. Now, what to do? We can think of no other than you, yourself. Your mind, your heart can be 10, 20. Then you can devote one here, then there. It's only one heart. Well, it is the throne of God. Don't let anybody sit on that except God." You see? What we do? We just let every worldly thing sit on the other and dethrone God. So Master Shasid, Guru Arjan says, the Master loves his remembrance disciples with every breath. That you see, can mother forget his children, small children? He might be working here, there, anywhere, you see, in the kitchen, everywhere, child is lying in his room, but yes, there is a connection. Little children, child moves there, then the milk began to, you see, come from the breast. The child little cries, she at once runs and means everything, maybe most valuable. Similarly, you know, we are all children of God. God in man, he is understood. But the yearning of the heart, you see, the disciples does pray like that. Well, don't forget us. Even if you go away, we are yours after all. But I tell you, it is mother first who loves us, the child. Child's love is only reciprocal. The love that a master has for his children, for his disciples, for his children, he looks on the level of God in him. He loves the disciples and hundreds of others won't love his children. But he loves his soul, judgment of the soul. With no consideration, no recompense, nothing like that. Mother may be loving the children, you see, with the hope when they will grow up, they will help us, this and that, in our old days they will become our stake. But Master doesn't need that. He simply sees us, says they are all, the souls are like the God in him, thinks that is my children. The more we have that yearning like that, you see, the more our mind is cleansed of all grass of the world, wiped away with the tears which roll down from the eyes, that water. With that water only, this doors of the fields of many bus paths can be washed. Mother Room says that one place, if you want to go to the place of pilgrimage, the Mecca. So there are two ways from India, you see. One is through the sea, the other on the land. But the way on the land is very sandy, you see. There's dust of water. There are no communications to the deserts of Arabia. So it's very hard to reach the place of pilgrimage if you go on foot. Or even on horses, you see. Because in the sense no car can go here. And there's a way through the sea. And that takes you quicker there in 3 days. So he says, look here, if you want to have a pilgrimage of God, well, come through the waters of tears. You'll go quicker. Rather than you go through land or sand. What is that meant by that? Any prayers, any rites or rituals performed or reading of scriptures with dry hearts, like gymnastic, mechanical, that won't help you to read God. Just you read scriptures, your heart should be full, and that or should overflow to eyes. There was one pandit, you see, he was relating a story of Rama. When there was one illiterate man, you see, he was sitting, he was reading out in Sanskrit language and he was shedding tears like that. Pandit thought perhaps he had followed me very well, you see. When the talk was over, he called him and looked at you, understood my talk, sermon very well. He said, I have not followed a word of you. Then why were you crying and weeping? Then I had that scene of Lord Rama before me. My heart was full and shedding tears all through the scene. I never had a word of what is told. So this heart of love, you see, this the foreshadow of the coming things. When rain comes, there are clouds from the coming. When there are blossoms in the trees, fruit-growing trees, there is hope of fruit. Similarly, the heart which is full of anguish, you see, yearning, overflowing with tears, you see, from the eyes. Such a one, you see, heart can be put. And you see, sometimes we never remember God, you see. Days and days pass away. We never think of that. By keeping diary is one thing very important, as we have not seen all aspects of it. That one day you are remembering the Godliness. You see? Although you won't remember it. At least at night you remember what I have been doing and I have to send it. Diary. Isn't that a great blessing? We never realize the truth of the things which are given. And all the time you say, oh my God, I have to, not to do this, not to, always thinking of the Master, of the God in it. So such a heart, you see, becomes the fittest to receive it, the quicker way, in a quicker way. So that was a prayer like that, you very full of pathos and yearning, you see, oh Master, you are going but don't forget us. We cannot remember you unless you remember us. That's how love is reciprocal, I tell you. So when you sit together, two men sit together, two disciples of the Master, naturally remembrance of the Master comes. Isn't it? That is the first thing. When you are asked to just don't miss attending the group meeting, when you sit together, you think of the Master. One says of his own says, well, this is like that, the other is like this. That way, the remembrance is revived, is it? This is another thing. When that is why Christ said, when more than one man sits in my name, I am there, is it? And moreover, you dwell for receptivity. So God, you see, when Master initiates anybody, he resides with him for very time, from very that time, and never leaves him, unless he takes him to the lap of the Father. And that is what is called God's power, or Guru power, or Christ power. So such like attitude makes us fit. Such like time spent and comes just sitting with you. You have responsibility. So these are some of the poems written by me when I was away from my Master. This state of mind, you see, cannot be such mercy. It has not been given to words to express the feelings of the heart, you see, yearning of the heart. So such like attitude radiates in the atmosphere. They go to cleanse all foreign, external thoughts for the time being. It is just like, you see, ego, when it comes in, no smell is there. So when the eagle of love comes anywhere, you see, no thoughts arise there. So all Master say, well, look here, the heart is the given to you, as a sacred trust. Don't misappropriate it. It is meant for God, and that only God is on that throne and nobody. So such like prayers, these help me. These things are only come out, you see, afresh when we have got out of the heart. Only such like prayers help. Sometimes you watch some modern, I mean, some specimens of prayers are given by Masters. That is only such like words that they gave out should come me very hard, because it's very hard. Only mechanic was repeating something that can deter effectively. If you love everything, you abide in the heart, let my words abide in you and you abide in me. How can you abide in it when you remember? The more you know, the more easily, actually. And what does it cost? Anything? And time flies away like anything. At a time of separation from Master, at least sometimes for 8 months, regular months, you see, and these things came out of my heart. Heart is only one, not two or three, how many you have got? One. Yeah. You want heart. When you give a heart, what remains? Where the heart goes, everything goes, you see. Body and soul both. This is what is meant by surrender and devotion. Simply in an intellectual way or philosophic way of thinking this and all that. If the learned man come to know a little iota of what madness we've got, yearning for the Lord, they'll forget everything and they'll dance like this. Such a heart is the abode of the Lord, you see. Even when we say prayers, we think we are the worldly. I should not delay you longer, that is why. In few words, man is the highest in all creation. And the highest aim that is before us in the man body, as given out by all masters who came in the past, is to know God. To know God, we must know ourselves first. God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, nor intellect, nor vital ears. It is the soul alone that can know God. But our soul is under the control of mind, and mind is under the control of outgoing faculty. Our attention, which is the expression of our soul, is diffused into the world through the outgoing faculties, and identified with them so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. As I told you, it is the soul alone that can know God. Like knows the like. Soul is conscious entity. God is all consciousness. The first thing is that we should know ourselves. All masters, whenever they came, they gave out the same thing, know thyself. How can we know ourselves? By liberating ourselves from the clutches of mind and outgoing faculties. Or you might say, by analyzing yourself from mind and matter. Or still further, you might say, to rise above body consciousness. When you know, you'll see that very God whom you find is already there. Man body, the wonderful house we live in. We are living in this man body, and we are also controlled in the man body on account of some higher power overhead. Otherwise, we could run away out of this man. There are so many apertures in this wonderful house we live in. But we are controlled, we cannot go out. Breathing goes out. Some power cannot remain outside. Some power is bringing it back into the body. That power which controls us in the body, that very power controls all universe. That is what is called God power. Or by so many names given by various masters, by different names. God wordless or nameless, when it came into being, that is called name, shabda, word. That God into expression power is the cause of all creation. So you reside in this very man body, and also whom you are after, for which purpose you have joined various schools of thought or religions, he also resides within you. Kingdom of God is within you. If you would like to find or enter in there, you will have to enter in the laboratory of your man body. You may be seeking outside for years and years. You may be observing so many rites and rituals which are performed at the level of the outgoing faculties. You cannot find a clue of that. So all Guru Nanak says, so long as you do not know yourself, you are in a grand delusion. So it is a pity. We are the indweller of the mind body. That very power which we have to find is also already there. A fish living in the water inquires where water is. In the scriptures you'll find a description of the findings the masters had in their lives when they come in contact with that God power. There only a description is given by reading which that can clear up an interest in you to know him, to have those very experiences what the masters had in their lives and are recorded in the scripture. They are the scope and what the scriptures say, God is within you. Body is the temple of God. All masters say that. In their own words, of course. So, if the God is within you, you must try to find him where he is. If you try to find him in the outward things, outward places, you cannot find him. We have regard for all scriptures, for they give a beautiful, fine records of the experiences what the masters had in their life. We have respect for all places, holy worship, for the reason they are made models out of the man body. Dome-shaped all Hindu temples like head of the Hindu body. Cross-shaped or nose-shaped all churches. Within the symbols representing God. God is light. God is music of the sphere. So these are two symbols kept in those to show the such-like light of God is shining within you, such like music of the sphere, that the voice of God is reverberating within you. That can be heard you can have contact with those when you rise above senses, above body consciousness. So it is a matter of practical self-analysis. How to rise above body consciousness? If you can rise above of your own efforts, you are welcome. If not, you can seek the help of somebody who goes up and has the competency to raise your soul, liberate also your soul from the clutches of mind, nerves and faculties, and is able to give you an experience of opening the inner eye to see the light of God, and opening the inner ears to hear the voice of God. Call him by any name you like. He is a man like you by outward appearance, but inside he has dwelt that way. He has analyzed his soul from mind and outward faculties. He rises above body consciousness daily. That was what was meant by what the scriptures say, learn to die so that you may begin to live. That is what is meant by when St. Paul said, I die daily. So this is what is meant by to be born anew. This is what is meant when it is said, Kingdom of God cannot be had by observation. It is within you. In the outworldly subjects, we do need the help of somebody who is expert in that way. All these subjects have to do with the outgoing faculties. If you need there somebody to guide you, help you, why not in a case, in a subject which starts when you rise above body, all outgoing faculties? It's a matter of common sense. If you can, well and good. A blind man needs two eyes to see. So we need somebody. Son knows the father and others whom the son reveals. And that sonship continues. So this is what is before us. For that purpose we have joined various schools of thought. And you'll find who can withdraw from outside. Who is not attached outside. Very clear. Who is attached outside, given up to outer pleasures, and lives a sensuous way of living. Such a man is not fit. Two things, there are five senses of the outgoing faculties, but two of them are most dangerous. The first is lust. The second is anger. All are dangerous, but these are the most dangerous. And even within these two, the first is most dangerous. Kabir says, I will forgive all sins, but not who are given up to unchaste life. These are his words. Naturally, your question will arise, what to speak of those who are married. Well, all scriptures tell us, what does marriage mean? Marriage means taking a companion in life to be with you in weal and woe, in this earthly sojourn, and help each other to to know God. That's the highest thing before us. And one duty, may we not be getting killed. Not 100%. Such the marriage you will also find, Christ gave out, husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. They said, I chased Christ. One duty, as I told you, is getting children. When you got one or two children, all right, you set your example and make their life sublime. So first thing you see, it is called the life of continence. Life, having a life of continence, is called by the rishis to observe brahmacharya. So brahmacharya means control of all the organs of sense. It does not mean mere control of animal passions. If a man controls only one organ and allows all the others to have free play, is bound to find his effort fruitless. To hear suggestive stories with the ears, to see suggestive sights with your eyes, to taste stimulating food with your tongue, to touch exciting things with hands, etc., and then expect to control the only remaining organ. It is just like putting a hand in fire and expecting that it shouldn't burn. So you will find perhaps palate is the chief of all. So brahmacharya means, charya word means the course of conduct. And brahm means God. So brahmacharya means to have such a conduct of life adapted to such for God. So it is therefore the control of all the senses, and it will become easy to anyone who controls his passions, his palate. Diet has to do very much about our lives. Whatever sort of food you have, that very effect you've got. If a dog is kept on mere vegetables, that is very amiable. If you keep it on meat, etc., he's growling. Any diet which goes to flare of passions, we have to eliminate. You see? So for that purpose you'll find in both this diet flares up, I tell you. Mawlana Rum says, well, it is not the love which arises out of eating bread, etc., but it is the love of the soul, charity. The love attached with the physical body, you see, is called love. So for that reason, you see, you'll find animals observe brahmacharya more than men. Any animal, you see, when he goes sick, he doesn't eat. First thing. There is time for, they are missing now. Man has no time. It's a pitiable state. So that is why we are born not to eat, but eating is made for us. So that the body may be maintained. This is a golden opportunity that we have got. Maintain it. Keep it as long as you can. What for? Not for eating, but eating for you to maintain it, so that you may know God. Similarly, all other organs are there, required to be controlled. So all Master have given, make great stress on that way. So these are the two things specially. What is all that, you see? All these five senses practically mean the same thing. And they hinge on only desire. So to be desireless is to cut off the, exterminate the very root of further things. So many masters have come to say that Buddha said, be desireless. Then Guru also said in his own language, be desireless. Kamna vahi. When you've got no desire, there's no question of anger. What is anger? When you want to have to do something or have something, somebody appears to be standing in the way, directly or indirectly, that very impediment in the achievement of your desire is called anger. You see? When there's anger, you see what happens? You gotta speak slowly. Take the example of one little rivulet or ordinary canal, you might say, going down with the narrow channel. When it is there no impediment in the way, it goes on forth. Then put a big stone in it, the water retards, strikes against the stone, and two things happen. One, crowds and home by striking. And the other, there's nice. So even those men who become angry, they kind of speak slowly, and there's home in their mouth. Then, when there's angry, they say, oh, I must have it. There's no reason why I should not have it. He puts in all efforts in having it. He makes parties, this and that. When he achieves it, he does not want to leave it. He's attached. This is called attachment. And then you die. So, all five senses hinge on the one thing, desire. Out of these, as I told you, two are the most important or the strongest ones controlled in the body. So, all masters have been telling like that. So, whenever you go to the everybody, you see, they say, just it is life. That we lack very much, you see. And sexuality is death. Though you are not married, they should observe strict chastity. Though you are married, they should regulate their life according to what the scriptures say. And what the scriptures say, I have just laid out before you. So in Mohammedans, almost every scripture they say the same thing. So the abandonment of sensual desires draws the soul towards heaven. The more you control this, the more you are nearer to God. Because on this very power depends the health of mind and body both. Your intellect, your brain, your physical body. And further, if this thing is dwelt very wonderfully, they say what you eat, that forms child. From child, blood is formed. From blood is formed fat. From fat comes the bones. From bones, the pith in it. And from the pith, this thing is formed. How valuable it is. As I told you, animals have observed more celibacy than men. They have no time. So all masters let any unchaste look, thought, or act, in all profanity of speech, is declared to be unpardonable. We don't pay attention to these things. A perfect man must be pure in every word and in every action in his own life. So Holy Spirit comes to him from the day one becomes there. You know how, what is the utmost necessity of being pure in heart. That is why Christ said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall be, not others. And further you find in Christ our Lord said that dogs are better than them. So all masters have been named, especially the Shankaracharya. Once the Hindu legend to say, when a man follows the way of the body, the true wisdom is not born in within him. When you attach to the spacious way of living, where is the dwelling? Seeing that the lust and temptations are like the sharks in the river of life. Sharks, they eat up the man. Kabir says, lust and anger, they just eat away the body, just like, you see, when you put some, what is called, Aga Gardon, what is called this side, if you put on that, gold is melted. So on these, you see, as the dawning of the yoga, which is say, as the dawning of the day is simultaneously with the crossing of the mind, passing of the night, so the dawning of true knowledge follows simultaneously with the dawn of, you see, control of the self. You see how important it is and how we have let loose these things. So all masters, whether they came in one religion or the other, they have been very, I mean, particular about this point. And nowadays, how dangerous it is, this thing. Young men, women, I don't know whether you take it ill or not. I don't think I'm telling you the, having a pity on the state of affairs that we are having nowadays. They are let loose, going like any wild animal. Running here, there, it doesn't mean marriage is the sacrament away from you. It is not a contract. As I told you, Christ said, yes, husbands should love their wives, as Christ loved his child. This is the main thing, you see. Who is affected with passions cannot obtain liberation. This is what Shankaracharya said. Not one, each religion says so. We belong to one religion as the other, but we don't follow the teachings. So fascination by the body is a great debt for him who is seeking liberation. I'm quoting you these things from the scripture. These are not my words. To whosoever, whichever religion you belong, where it is there. Chinese philosophy tells us, to be guileless and pure, this is the way to nourish the spirit. When lust and desires are deep, the springs of the heavenly are shallow. What more you would tell? What we are doing? These very things are given a great stress, but we people don't care. That's the pity. Buddha says, I proclaim the annihilation of dust, I teach the doing away with lust. Nirvana means the subsiding of all human passion. When inner fires of lust are extinguished, then one enters into the Nirvana. This is the lesson. So whatever cut down, you see, this is the most important thing and the most thing. I tell you, when we were quite young, our brothers and sisters were born, we used to ask out of curiosity, where from this have come? were told that the midwife has left it here. So innocent life we had. Our parents had so chaste life. Children did not know how the children were from the house. Now small boys know. Why? We see you. How can you expect that happen? So this is the subject which is most important and the mostly ignored. So this is one thing. With this everything follows. May I quote you history? Napoleon, whose name dreaded the whole of Europe, when he was caught in the Waterloo, you see, history shows he's fallen down in the night before. Indian history shows, pretty dark. Invaders came, he repulsed them. But the day he fell in this way, next day he was caught. Your own experience will show, when you go in for that, the following day you are not happy. Your spirit is down. Your eyes are sunken. Excuse me, I have just taken up this subject. Some friend of mine was asking about it this day, that there had been one article issued in the papers on this day. They are recommending all these things, whereas we are deadly against higher principles of spirituality. So as I told you, control of organs of sense is the first thing, the life of consciousness. You see, this lust wave assails us. How? Through eyes. You want to save yourself, don't look into the eyes of others. Anger is flared up to the ears. You see? How to control it? Right? Leave that place. The more you have, the more anger is flared up, you see? And you won't talk slowly. You won't talking like anything loudly and what you deserve, there is foam in your mouth, you see? And you get it. But as it comes through, okay. They've got centers in the body. When you're attached to any to your son, daughter, everything, you have your fear. These are centers in the body. So man body, you see, the highest in all creation, we have it. Simply, if you withdraw, how to control it? The best way. Just control your attention. Withdraw it from outside, bring it up to the feet of the soul, which is at the back of the eyes. That's the way of it. When you have full control, this can be had by regular practice, I would say. Practice makes the man. You seal your eyes up and you may not see. If your ears on, you may not hear. When your attention is controlled, so I tell you, Prophet Muhammad, he says two things. If you control two organs, one which is between the two lips, and the other which is between the two thighs, he says, I am responsible for your liberation at the court of God. Tulsidas says the same thing. If you are truthful, humble, humility, and chaste, consider others as mothers, sisters, and daughters, help your wife. That also for the people. My wife, they are not a machine in mind that, excuse me, I am a bit very clear today. They are not for that purpose, that's the only one duty. Not. He says, I am responsible at the court of God. Kabir says, I will forgive all sins, not who is left. You got no destiny left. So these are the basic things we play out. Others follow. So to achieve God is just to have to. Life will have the pure in heart for the You are always thinking to mind that. Simply sit down and hear what others say. Either they will be speaking of the dirty things, excuse me, or animosity, while that, what is this, any thought, I tell you, any intention that is considered somebody is retarded, proving impediment in the way that turns into anger. So we must have a life of contentment, I think. This is what is necessary, Paul Master said. So, all scriptures tell us to love God, love all humanity. God delights in every heart. So for that, ethical life is stepping stone to spirituality. These are the two main things, others also there. But these are two main things. Here we are. Wait a minute now. It is the tongue, you see. You have no control for eating or saying anything, you see. Think twice before you talk. What will this word I am uttering will carry effect? Is there any controversy? Quietly follow what he says. You are in anger. Mind that. Never say anything. Be quiet. Do the other thing, what you say. These are the ways to be, to just save yourself from these. But the highest aim, this is one thing. If your love for God and God desires an heavy heart, we are of the same essence as that of God. Then naturally you will have love for all, no hatred. But you love everybody as you won't harm him. You won't reserve, use up his rights. You won't tell lies, you see? All things follow. So love, God is love, and love is the way back to God. For that is necessary, you must have a life of consciousness. So this is, I think, the last talk I can give. I've been referring to these things in my talks, and just enjoining on you to maintain your diaries. Perhaps you were thinking these things were taught for somebody else. This is the stony ground on which you can raise your building for future. Otherwise you're raising your buildings of sand. I think the best of you have found that I've given you. Then, highest aim is to know God, and whatever there are retarding factors, we should eliminate. What are helping factors, we should adapt. Who has God, whoever God, to solve the mystery of life. Naturally, that is the greatest aim in his life. But this question cannot be stamped out, must find solution sooner or later. There's food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Where fire burns, oxygen comes to hell. Demand and supply is law of nature. God sees my child is after me. He makes some arrangement to bring you in contact. Who has known himself and knows God, sees God as I see you, you see me. And he gives you how to control these outgoing faculties. All outgoing faculties can be made stand still if you control your attention. So that is what the masters always give. Surya, that way of the attention, controlling your attention. They give you an experience how to be, how to analyze yourself, how to rise above body consciousness, how to be reborn. Except you be reborn, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So it's a matter of your self-analysis. blessed you are. In the grace of God, whoever to put on the way, Christ said to his disciples, blessed are ye who see things when the old prophets and righteous could not see. Blessed are ye, you hear things but the old prophets and righteous could not hear. So you could see, you could hear. Is it not a great blessing of God? Now go on further, you see. Just have self-introspection of your life like a stick, like a heart of master. Don't fail you. Go on with your meditation, weed out all imperfections and your diaries at regular intervals, and love for all, love God, love the life in every heart. Those who do not love cannot know God. With these things, I think the best of things, few words which I could give you, and the last day I am physically leaving you tomorrow, so please keep it in your heart, live up to them. The more you live, you'll feel blessedness within you. Remain in any religion you like. Religions are our schools of thought to know God.
Getting late.
Yes, of course. But getting an level thing. What's the time? Oh, my God. That's it. Anyway, all right, I thank you all for all the cooperation, you see, and help extended by you, not in words, but in thoughts and deeds, you see. You have been helping the cause of God. In other words, you have been helping your own selves and helping me too. My wishes are always with you, then God's power is with you, can never leave you. We'll be extending all feasible help and protection. I'm glad to hear from you about your spiritual progress at regular intervals, a quarter. Give your wish what you want. Long John Smondo. Oh, you write a letter of 8 pages, sometimes people write 10 pages, 12 pages. So what I do, those are small letters, reply the first. So long letters, I keep it over for later. That's what I have to do. So write short, to the point, what you want. That power within you, that will compensate you. Say it out. How you feel, what is your, any difficulty in your meditation. Your diary shows everything. If there is anything special, you can put it. That will help, you see. You also, and I think I can attend to it. Correspondence is increasing, I know. By leaps and bounds, because when I'm going home. And I wish each one of you to remain in contact. Attend your group meetings. Read those who are there, have love and respect for them. Love one another. For the sake of God, the God in us. So I wish you all, you see, best of my wish and love.